don't we pray and read our Bibles. God, we come to you and we thank you because you're good. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that we can come together and read this book. And when we do, you've promised that it is your word and it is living and it is powerful. And it reaches inside of us and it shows us who we are and it calls us to be more like you. And so we pray that all of that would happen this morning as we read. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, flip over to Colossians. I know that is the absolute worst way to start a message. It, supposedly, people just like, you know, turn off their brains. Oh, it's Bible time. But that's not the case with us. I can see in your faces that that's a good thing. We love our Bibles. So, as we're going through Colossians, we are in the third chapter and the fourth chapter. We'll get there someday. And as we've hit this section of the book, the latter half of the book, where it talks about, okay, if you are God's child, if you are a dearly beloved, chosen, forgiven child of the King of the universe, then this is how you would live. This is how that comes out in your life and how you treat other people and the kind of person that you would then be. And we've come upon a section in verse 12 and following that that has to do with how we treat each other. And it's a really short section. And Paul talks about several different things that have to do with how God's child lives with other people and how we treat one another. And honestly, if I were to say that I'm looking forward to the next few weeks, I'm not. I mean, this is fine. Like right now, it's the week leading up to it because I'm thinking about this verse and putting, you know, like looking at myself, and it's the word of God and living and powerful and cuts inside of me. And I'm not very good at these next few things we're going to talk about. So just moment of confession. Maybe I'm like you, maybe not. But these are personal things, and it's like, this is not how you should be, and this is how you are, and this is what you should be like. And so we're going to take these next couple of ideas slowly, and we're just going to take one a week and bite on them and digest them and let them absorb into us for the purpose of application, so that we could take them one at a time and say, okay, for the next week, I'm going to focus on this part of my character and this part of the way that I treat other people. And so let's read today's verse, and we'll see how that goes. Verse 12, chapter 3, Colossians, put on then, as God's chosen ones, beloved and holy, or holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And I know that patience and bearing with one another goes together, but we'll leave bearing with one another for next week, because that's its own. I can't apply all of this at one swoop, so we'll leave the bearing with one another for next week, so we limit our application assignment. So this verse has to do with how we feel towards each other and how we treat each other, how I feel about you, and not just you, y'all, but people in general. How, the feelings that I have inside when I look towards other people, when I see people, when someone comes across my path in Walmart, someone I don't know, someone who's different than me, someone who I do know, someone who I like. How do I feel towards that person? How do I treat that person? Wouldn't we like to think that we treat people pretty well, because good people treat people good. That's the wrong word, but it makes sense. You know, it sounds good, right? Good people treat people good. If I'm a good person, I'll treat people well. I'll be a nice person. And we're all good people, right? So if I'm a good person, I'm going to treat people well. That's what I would like to believe. But it's not always true. Sometimes it's true, but it's not always true. The reality is how I treat people depends. How you treat people, it depends. It depends on a lot of things, but one of the biggest factors that how I treat you and how I feel about you, one of the biggest things it depends on is the fact that I'm selfish. You see, my selfishness is kind of this overriding characteristic that's part of me, and how I treat you, it doesn't depend on how nice of a person I am, really. It depends on how selfish I am, and I'm really selfish. And everyone else should not say amen, but nod their heads, because we all are really selfish. This isn't me confession. It's all of us, right? We're incredibly selfish people, and if you don't believe that, just Now, we'll talk about that later, but I think most of us would agree that if we look in the mirror, we see an incredibly selfish person looking back. So as a selfish person, I treat people how I need to, how it's best for me, so that my life kind of keeps going forward. Now, that's not the only factor, but it is one of the factors. I treat people good or bad based on, you know, how good they are, or if I like them, or you know, if I'm a good person, or I decide to love people. That's all true, but also, I treat people, I feel towards people based on, well, how I need to feel and how I need to treat them so that my life continues going well. So sometimes I'll treat you well. Sometimes I'll treat you good. I'll treat you, if you're part of my life, like if I'm married to you, or you're one of my children, or you know, you're somebody who's at my house on a regular basis, or you're part of my circle, my happiness kind of depends on your happiness. So I'll treat you commiserately, right? Because I don't want you to be unhappy, because then I'll be unhappy. So let's all be happy together. So that kind of determines how I treat you. But there's some selfishness at the root of that. I treat you better and feel better towards you if you've helped me, or if you could help me. If you're somebody who I kind of need in my life, you know, I want that phone call comes across, I want you to go, ah, Phil, I want that. I want a good reaction. So I treat you in a good way. That's not the only reason I'll be, like when I say hi afterwards and I shake your hand, and don't think, oh, maybe he like needs something from me or wants something from me. That's not the only thing that determines how well I treat you. But isn't it true that when we need something from somebody or somebody could help us, we tend to treat them better? If I like you for whatever reason, I'll treat you better. If I don't, have you ever just like not like somebody without even talking to them? You just see them, like, hey, I'm not going to like that person. And then you have to talk to them and you don't like them. Well, if I like you, I'll treat you better. I'll feel better when I see you. I'll have a smile on the inside when you walk through the door. If you have a little bit of power over me, like if you sign the check that I deposit every week and then take to the Walmart and buy food with, I'll be nicer to you. Probably. I'll treat you better. I'll feel better towards you. Not always, but if you could give me, you know, a grade that will keep me from getting into college, there's a certain amount of niceness and it'll affect how I treat you. I'm not going to treat you maybe how I feel on the inside. We treat some people, well because it's in our best interest. Not always. We're not pure, unadulterated selfishness, but selfishness tends to creep in to a lot more of our actions than we would like to think. And so, I don't just treat people well because I'm selfish, I treat people bad because I'm selfish. If I don't know you, if you're not part of my life, it's really easy for me to be really indifferent to you. It doesn't matter. You're not... You're not somebody who's going to affect me if you can't help me, or if you need help from me, if it's the help relationship in the other way. I don't have to be as nice to you because you need me. You're going to be nice to me. That keeps the dynamic flowing correctly. If you've been mean to me before, if I don't like the way you've treated me, I'm not going to feel as good towards you. Why? Because, well, that's a selfish motive. If I just don't like you, if I have power over you, if I sign your check, I'm not going to feel as obligated to be quite as nice as if you sign my check. There's just that dynamic. It's our selfishness that makes us treat people either good or bad. And so if I don't need you, or I don't like you, or I don't have to treat you nice, then I might be more disposed to ignore you or not treat you quite as well as I could. You ever notice, you say, I don't do that. I'm pretty much a nice person to everybody. You ever notice how when you get stopped by a police officer, you're nicer to that person in that moment? Maybe not after you drive off, you're not, but in that moment, no offense, in that moment, you're nicer to that person than maybe you would be to the guy who cuts you off in the parking lot. Why? Well, that's our selfish. Could you imagine? Okay, if you see somebody in Walmart and you're in line with the person, you don't even know them. How would you feel towards them, and how would you treat them? And then how would that change if you found out that they work at the new place where you just got a new job at? And then how would that change if you found out that they actually were the team leader and they were going to be bossing you around? And then how would that change if you found out they're actually the son of the owner of the company, and they're the kind of the one who runs it? You see how we treat people and how we react to people would totally change with that. Or you know, when somebody's helped you in the past, how you feel towards them and how you treat them, or if you need them to help you in the future, you know, it just changes. You pick up a phone and you answer, and then you say, oh, I hope I wasn't mean to that person, because that person I like, and I kind of was like, hello. I got a text message from one of my brothers this week. I thought it was from one of my brothers. And so I responded back, you know, the way I would respond to my brother. Turns out it was nice. I responded nicely. But then after a little bit, I realized that was my dad, because they all have the name Konarski in their text and like in the phone. They have the same plan. And so I never know who's sending me messages. And so after a minute, and James, my brother, and James, my dad, both send me Bible verses. Really cool. They send some, they'll read you something. Anyway, so I got this verse. I was like, oh, wait a second. That was my dad who sent me that verse. And so I went back and read the message to make sure that the way I responded was appropriately respectful for my dad, since it was my dad and not my, and it was. So thankfully, nothing to repent of there. But how we treat people changes. So why don't we treat everybody well? Why don't we treat everybody the same? Why don't I feel just equally good about everyone here and nice and happy with everybody? Like if I were to meet each one of you in Walmart, some of you I know and some of you I don't, why wouldn't we treat everybody the same and everybody nice? Because in theory, don't we like the idea of being good people? Like I would like to be that person. I would like to be that person where everybody's like, oh, he's just nice. He's a nice guy. He's just really, and I never have to question like, did I just say that? Do I know that person? I hope I don't know that person. I hope I never meet that person. I hope I don't run into them at church on Sunday. I want to be a good, just a nice person. In theory, I like that idea. So why aren't we nicer? Sunday morning, we're always nice on Sunday mornings. But the rest of the week, why aren't we just equally nice to everyone all the time? And doesn't it, in our minds, start with them? Everybody's not equally nice to us. Some people, they don't put good stuff into our lives. They take stuff out. They're sources of frustration. They take away, they need stuff from us. They take our energy and our peace, and they make life harder. So I'm not as nice to them because they don't, well, just the way they treat me and the way they act when I interact with them doesn't inspire like good feelings towards them. And then there's some people, they don't just like kind of take things out of my life. They're mean to me. They're bad to me. They're not nice people. They've done bad stuff to me in the past. So that really doesn't inspire good feelings. And then that leads us into why we treat people bad, not everybody equally good, because we feel bad towards some people. We don't feel good towards everybody. So some people we actually feel bad towards. We're irritated by them, depending on what they ask from us and what moment and what we're in the middle of and what's going on. Some people just bother us, and not all the time, but in some moments, and not everybody, not all the time, but when people interrupt our lives, don't you feel just like, it's harder to feel good about people when they're interrupting your life and taking something from you? And welcome to parenthood, right? So, and some people, it's we don't feel horribly good towards because we're kind of indifferent towards them. They're not a huge part of our lives, or we don't need anything from them. So, you don't evoke good or bad feelings from me. And so, because of how we feel towards people, when you irritate me or when I could care less about you, that makes me treat you badly. I treat people badly when I don't feel good towards them. I'll ignore you, or I'll be indifferent, or I'll be irritable, or bothered, or impatient, or I won't cover up the anger that I feel inside because you just because I don't feel good towards you, so I treat you bad. And so the text today, verse 12, starts on the inside. He doesn't go down a list of do these things to each other. He says, feel these ways towards each other. He starts on the inside and he says, as if you were saying, the way you treat each other starts in your heart. The way you treat each other on the outside starts with how you feel towards each other. So if you want to treat people better, start feeling better towards people. Let's read verse 12 again. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Look at those attributes. And as we look at those attributes, ask yourself, which one is really deficient in me? Like, not in the person next to me, but like in me. What is the one that that's not me. I cover it up, but I'm not that person. Look at the first one. Put on then compassion. I jumped verses. Compassionate hearts. That's really on. Out of your heart, compassion should come. The heart is the center of emotion, right? And so he's saying from the deepest part of you on the inside, where your emotions come from, feel towards other people, feel compassion, feel grace, feel favor, feel for other people, feel for their circumstances, for what they're going through. Like the guy who cut me off in the parking lot, what's he going through that day? What made him such a selfish jerk? Maybe he didn't even mean to cut me off. Maybe I just thought he was. But what's happening in his life? And eternally, is this person know God? Does he have the Holy Spirit? Is he going to heaven? What's going on in their lives? Feel for them. And that's the opposite. Feeling compassion is the opposite of feeling, I don't care. Hope they're okay. Hope it turns out okay. It's not my life. That's their problem. We all suffer, so I guess I hope they can work it out. I mean, I'm the one you should feel bad about, not them, because I have my own things. That's the opposite of compassion. So when do you not feel compassion? When do you find yourself kind of cold-hearted towards people? And then he says, keep losing my place, kindness. Feel kindness. That's feeling nice and good and tranquil and happy with and patient with and towards other people. It comes out of us as we treat other people well. We treat other people with kindness and with niceness and with calm. It starts in the tone of voice. You can tell how kind I am feeling towards you by the tone of voice I use when I talk to you. It's like, what's wrong? Nothing. Well, something in your tone of voice says you're not feeling kindness. It's not coming out of you. The way you're treating me isn't kind. So there's not kindness in here. And the opposite of kindness is when we're cold. Again, it's that indifference. It's I don't care about you. I'm irritated with you. I'm bothered by you. And that comes out of us. Feel kindness towards each other. When do you not feel kindness towards people? Since this is confession day for Philip, it's when I got my own stuff going on, and then there's interjections into it, you know? Come and do this, and help me with this, could this happen? It's like, I'm not as kind to the people around me when I'm getting interrupted. You're probably totally different, but that's just my personal when kindness doesn't flow out of me. Put on kind, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility. Humility, that's not feeling. See, these are all internal things. It's heart stuff. It's how I feel towards you. He says, put on. He says, don't just, be nice to people. No, feel like you're not superior to people. Feel like you don't deserve more than other people. Like that parking space, he deserved it just as much as me. No one has cut me off recently. That's just a made-up example, but it fits, right? It's not feeling like my virtues and my good things about me make me better than you. And so I'm just kind of a little bit better than you. Humility is knowing we all have good stuff and we all have bad stuff. And none of us is superior to anyone else, whether by virtue of what we do or what we look like or who we are or what we've done. It doesn't matter. The opposite of that is feeling what? Isn't it feeling like, well, it's pride. It's arrogance. It's I'm better than you. I would never say that, but I know it, and you probably know it too. you're a little bit less than me. I deserve more than you. We would never say that stuff out loud, but we feel it, don't we? Don't nod. Right, we do. We feel that. And that attitude is felt by other people. When I feel superior to you, it's felt by other people. Okay, there's a funny story. See, everyone here starts a story by saying it's funny. It doesn't end up being funny, but this one actually, to me, I will laugh. You don't have to. And I'm not sure if I was actually, I'm sure I was being arrogant. I'm pretty much always being arrogant. That's just, pride is always a factor in all of us. So anyway, I'm sure I was being arrogant, but we were having a round table conversation with my family, and I was older and married, and we were having a round table conversation, and people brought grievances, you know, so just air things and say, this is, you know, you did this, and we need to air this, and, you know, you need to say you're sorry, and so grievances were being aired that day, kind of mostly about me, and one of which was, you always go and get big glasses for you and Jackie. Again, my family, no alcohol is ever involved. My parents are strict teetotalers. But they use shot glasses they're not really shot glasses, but they're like, they might as well be for milk. How do you drink that much milk? That's not a drink of milk. That's just like you quick gulp, and then you have to spin the lazy Susan to get the pitcher again. And I mean, you can't, that's so inefficient. So I would get up before we would eat when we used to have family dinners, and I would get big glasses for my wife and I, glass, because who drinks out of plastic, right? And it just doesn't feel right. So big glasses and fill them up with milk for my wife and I, and we would then drink milk like normal people. And it was brought up, you drink just big glasses for just you and Jackie, and it's like you think you're better than us, which how do you respond when people criticize you? I was like, I don't think I'm better than you. I know I'm better than you, but that's not why I use the big glasses. I use the big glasses because it's just efficient. I said it jokingly because I meant to be jokingly, but don't we all kind of have that underlying feeling? I don't think I'm better than you. I know I'm better. I would never say that, but humility, and it comes across in the way we treat people and the way we're dismissive of other people and the way we talk to people, and that pride in our attitude flows out of us in the way we treat. You know, when you're around somebody who thinks they're a little bit better than you, right? It doesn't feel. So he says, feel in your heart, believe, I'm not better than you. The next one, meekness. Another emotion, another feeling, another way we feel towards other people. It's feeling just, again, at peace, relaxed, tranquil inside. It's the opposite of being all worked up and bothered and irritated and impatient and angry and overbearing. It's expressed in us, that emotion comes out of us when we're either just, you know, whatever happens, I'm kind of good with, or we're explosive, depending on what happens. When we're happy, or when we're all worried and tied up and knotted up, when we go along, or when we're just that, when we're demanding, that's meekness. He says, clothe yourself with meekness and patience. Are you glad we're at the end of the list? I am as well. Because all of these things, we look at ourselves and say, yeah, I don't do that well. I'm not that person. He says, be that person. Patience, that's like slow to anger. It's slow to anger doesn't mean you count to three and then you get a blow up. It's you just let things, you go with it. You feel peace no matter what's happening, even when bad stuff, and you're like, this isn't working out. You're like the calm in the center of the storm, and everybody in the car is like, why are they so at peace? Because this day is not going right. They should be just like flustered and upset and you know, hitting kids in the back seat. But they're not. They're just like, they're cool. What is that? That's patience. It's when you're not treated right in life by life or other people, and you're good with it. You're not angry. You're not impatient, you're not irritable, you don't express it in those ways. It's the opposite of being that angry, explosive, irritable, not tolerating anything. Everything's good with that unless something goes wrong, and then it's just like, you know, everybody duck. It's whatever, good and bad, I'm gonna be okay. I'm gonna be feel okay. And so if you get to the end of that list and say, okay, so compassionate, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. when exactly do I have to be that way to other people? Because people are bad to me a lot of times and treat me bad and hurt me. And then I'm around a ton of people that I don't, that have nothing to do with my life. I mean, I smile, but I don't even know them. They've never been good or bad with me, and I'll never, you know, have interesting interactions with them in all likelihood. I don't have to, like, feel that way and be nice towards everybody, right, all the time. This must be, like, there has to be, like, some qualifying statement, like, when do you be like this? And there is. So go back in verse 12. Put on then. That's a putting on clothes kind of statement. It's a put on then. You should always be like this if you're God's child. That's what he's saying. Put that on. Just that is becomes part of you in the same way that I never leave the house without pants or shorts or something, right? A shirt. I always, even when I go running, I'm fully clad. I never, you know, it's like, well, when do I have to wear clothes? Well, kind of, if you're a person all the time, right? It's, you put this on. This is just who you are. This becomes a covering over you. This becomes just the way you are. When things are going bad, yeah. When people are mean, yeah. When I'm around people who I really could care less about, I just want to get out of there and get my, yeah, this is how you should be all the time. This is how I should be all the time. This is what should cover me. I should, independent of what life is throwing at me and the way people are treating me, this is just how I should be. And then if you raise your hand again and say, but why do I treat people like that? Because that doesn't make sense to my little kind of selfish, prideful, logical mind. People are mean to me, and I don't. They don't deserve. Most people in my life don't deserve for me to be always compassionate and kind and humble and meek and patient. I'm going to get taken advantage of. Now, why should I treat people like that? Very few people deserve. I just think in your mind, okay, who deserves in your life? Who deserves you to treat them like that all the time? The guy at Walmart who you say hi to and just looks the other way and makes you feel like an idiot, your spouse who always treats you nice, right? Nobody in our life deserves for us to always be kind and compassionate with them. So when do I have to do this? Again, go back to the verse. This is awesome. This verse, this tiny little verse, answers all the questions. Put on then, and then before he tells us what to put on, tells us why. He tells us why. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. He says, put on then. So then, because of everything that's come before this, because of who you are and what God has done to you, what God has done for you, if you are God's child, because if you're in his family, if he's taken the old person out of you, remember the last, I don't know, has it been a year or 2 years or the last first couple chapters of Colossians? Everything God does for his children, because of that, then you, who is the you here? It's God's children. It's an implicit you in my version, but it's there. Put on then. You're God's children. This is an instruction for God's children. Why? Why do God's children have to be this way? Because of what God's children have received, which he's going to tell them. He said, put on then as God's children. He's saying, because of what you are, put on then because of who you are, he reminds us of what we've received. He says, naturally, if you're this, is what he's going to describe after the word as. If you're this, he says, that's who you are. That is your identity. That word as encapsulates our identity. Put on then as. He said, if you're this, then this is how you would act. This is what comes out of who you are as God's chosen. God has chosen us to love us, to transform us, to forgive us, to be his people, to be his family, to be his children. Isn't that the message of the gospel, that we're made in God's image to reflect his glory, and we've rebelled against him and we continually disobey him and we ignore him? We treat him like the people that we don't like treat us. We ignore him. We don't want to be part of his life. And we disobey him. And then he decides to save us. He sends his son to rescue us, and he forgives us, and he adopts us. And when we give ourselves to him and we repent and are baptized, we become part of his family. You're God's chosen ones. You're God's chosen one. You're holy. You're different. You're set apart. And nobody else treats people like this where I work. Nobody else treats people like this in my family. Nobody else in Walmart is as nice as this is wanting me to be. Why would I be this way? Because you're holy. You're set apart. By definition, you're different. You're supposed to be different. You're different than what you would have been if you're not God's child. You're set apart for God. You're set apart to be like God. You're set apart to be pure and without spot or blemish as God's chosen ones, holy. And then this word, this is why, beloved. Rebellious against God, ignore God, run away from God, beloved. By God, beloved by the King of the universe, the same one that we have and continue to offend, the same one that we disobey when we don't do what he says and we do things he says not to do. Beloved by God, approved by the King of the universe. If you're God's child, you are approved by him. He looks down at you and you're accepted in him. He's happy with you. Isn't that an incredible thought? He's not happy with who you're going to be. He's happy with you right now if you're his child. Not because you deserve for him to be happy with you, and that's the point. And that's why this is why we treat other people better than they deserve. He's happy with you and he loves you and he approves of you if you're his child, if you're in Christ, because you are in Christ. Because Jesus died on the cross and his blood covers you and you're forgiven because of him. Because Jesus' perfect life covers you. And if you are in Christ, God is happy with you and he loves you. So then as God's dearly beloved, chosen, holy children, doesn't say children, but that goes with it. Treat other people this way, the way God has treated you. Why should I treat other people with patience and humility and kindness and be compassionate to people who don't deserve my compassion? Because God treats me like that and continues to treat me like that. Not because they deserve it, because I don't deserve it. He treats me like that because he's decided to. And so the application for us is we should be with like to other people, treat other people, feel towards other people the way God is with us. So, what do you have to do? What do you have to change? What can you do to clothe yourself with humility and compassion and kindness? And what can you do to treat other people that way? What do you need to change? What do you need to do to feel different towards the people around you, no matter what's going on or what they're doing to you? If you're not God's child, if you've never made the decision to give yourself to Jesus, to repent and be baptized, he says the way you treat other people is based on you receiving that kind of treatment from God. And so this whole verse is an invitation to you. If you haven't made the decision to follow Jesus, this verse is an invitation to receive the kind of compassionate, humble, patient treatment from God that he gives to his children, to be chosen and beloved and set apart and made part of his family. And if you've never made the decision to give yourself to Jesus, this verse is an incredible invitation to receive the most love that you could ever receive from anyone, from the Father. To become his child, to repent and be baptized, to give yourself to Jesus. And in this community, when you're ready to make that decision, when you're ready for God's love to rain down on you and to be chosen and beloved and set apart for him and part of his family, tell someone, I'm ready. I want to be baptized. I was told there's water. That's makes it easier. You can repent and you can be baptized. You can become God's child. If you already are God's child, you've received that love and you continue to receive that love being poured on you, as do I. So here's a question for us. What do I need to change in my character specifically? Reading through that list, the compassion, patient, kind, humble. What do I need to change in my character? What do you need to change in your character? What's the one thing that jumps out at you as I'm not like this? Okay, whatever that is, this is a moment to repent and to say, that's not just my personality. I'm not the cranky old dad, you know, who when my kids come in, it's like, that's just the way dad is. That's sin. It's a moment to recognize and confess. That's sin. That's that part of my personality that makes me think I'm better than you and everyone. That's sin. That impatience, it's sin. Whatever it is for you, whatever that characteristic is for you, now is a moment in our minds to repent and to say, that's sin. That's just not how I am. That's sinful. And then every time you see that this week, remember we talked about the beginning, I talked about, you know, we got to put it in practice and you're going to take this passage slow because we want to like work on it for a week. The work on it for a week for this verse is every time you see that characteristic come out of you, that pridefulness, that lack of compassion, the I don't care about you, the meanness, the impatience, whatever it is, in your mind, just really quickly, just return to this moment and say that, I've already confessed that. That's sin. I'm going to confess it again. I recognize that is sin. And then quickly do what this verse leads us to do. Quickly in that moment say, what have I received from the Father? So much love, so much compassion, so much kindness in Jesus. Just in your mind, I know this is like taking a long time to say, but do it in like 30 seconds, you know, half of a second. Just as quickly go through it. I'm that sinful. The way I'm feeling towards that person is sinful. My Father's been so good to me. And then let that love flow out of you and let your face soften and your voice soften and how you feel soften towards that person and let God's love flow out of you. And every time that characteristic comes up this week, just do that, do that. That's sinful. God has loved me. I'm going to love you. And just let's work on that together as we become more like Jesus in the way we treat each other. Why don't we stand? We'll sing, we'll pray, and then we will sing together. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are so good. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for reminding us on days like today when you ask us to do things that we think are out of our power and we don't want to do, and not all the time, not to everybody. Thank you for reminding us of your incredible goodness to us that we have received through Jesus in the cross. And help us to treat others that same way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.